Rav Soloveitchik on the ideas from Rav Soloveitchik on the Haggadah. We've discussed many things from the Rav on Haggadah previously in other shirim, but there's a new sefer out called Harerei Kedem. It's by Rav Shurkin. Rav Shurkin Shlita. Rav Shurkin has put out two sfarim on the Rav's Torah. It's mostly what the Rav had to say about the Yomim Tovim. They're very, very, very strong sfarim. He presents things very, very well. So there are many ideas here in Harerei Kedem, which either I haven't heard at all before, or I've heard them, but I never really understood them as clearly. So I want to present to you today several ideas from the Rav, mostly taken from the Sefer Harerei Kedem. Okay, number one, we say in the Torah, in the Haggadah, really, Avadim Hayinu v'Paro b'Mitzrayim. Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. So the Rav just noticed here a very sharp diuk, that it never says we were Avdei Paro. In Hebrew, you have the possessive form when two nouns are combined, that you are the owned, or you are connected to something else, you say Avdei Paro. You are the slaves of Paro. In English, the difference is very slight, but in Hebrew, it's a significant difference. To say Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim, means we were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. We were slaves, and we were the slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. But Avdei Paro would imply that's who we are. That is our self-definition. We are the slaves of Paro. Who are you? I'm an Avdei Paro. Like in L'Avdil, we say, who are you? I'm an Eved Hashem. We're Avdei Hashem. The Torah never describes us as Avdei Paro because, the Rav explains, in our essence, in our basic definition, we never were Avdei Paro. We never were Avdei Paro. We were always Avdei Hashem. It's just that our present status, we were physically slaves, and we had to serve Paro, but that never affected, our basic self-definition. In our pnimius, the Rav says, in our pnimius, we were never Avdei Paro. The Rav here quotes the Medrash Rabbah in Shmos Parsha Hay, that we had Megillos that we would learn on Shabbos to remind us that Hashem's going to redeem us. We always felt we were Avdei Hashem. It happens to be technically we were under the servitude of Paro. This is in contrast to the Mitzrayim themselves. When the Torah describes the Mitzrayim themselves, it says in Shmos Perek Yud, Pasuk Zayin, Vayomru Avdei Paro Elov. The slaves of Paro said to him, the Egyptians, Taka, they felt that their shame etzem, their basic self-definition was, we are Avdei Paro. And that's a difference between, even when the Jews were slaves to Paro, we weren't Avdei Paro like his own servants were. That's what we say in the Hallel. We say, Hallel Avdei Hashem, Avdei Hashem, or Avdei Paro. We were never, ever, Avdei Paro fully. We were Avadim to Paro, but not in a sense the slaves of Paro, that our basic self-definition was being a slave of Paro. Okay, that's one idea. Next, we've discussed already many times in different contexts that the Rav viewed and explained, the Briskers in general, and the Rav in particular, viewed a Talmud Torah as an essential component to the Pesach Seder. We've discussed how Talmud Torah is part of the story, and Talmud Torah is how you tell the story itself. That we've discussed at length in other contexts. I just saw three ideas here that the Rav says that the word Haggadah, the name Haggadah itself, we call the Haggadah the Haggadah. So Pashut Shat Haggadah means to tell. Lehagid means to tell over a story. Lehagid, to tell, to say. So the Rav points out that we find at least three, there are more, but at least three references that the verb, that the word Haggadah doesn't only mean to tell, it also means to teach. For example, when the Torah is describing, Hashem's going to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Hashem says to Moshe, Ko somar l'beis Yaakov, v'sageid l'bnei Yisrael. Regarding the Torah, we see the word sageid. That sageid, go tell Bnei Yisrael that you're going to teach them Torah. It's not just a story, you're teaching them Torah. So you see the reference of Haggadah and Torah. Similarly, a few times in Chazal, the Rav quotes that the Lashon of Agadata is a reference to Torah. So it's a Baal Agadata, it means it's a reference to Torah. And finally, and this one's very, very, very strong, the Targum Yonasan in Shmos Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Ches, on the pasuk of Vihigadata Levincha, the Targum Yonasan says, V'tisni Levincha, Tuf Tuf Nun Yud. That is Aramaic for teach. So the Targum Yonasan defines the word. Vihigadata Levincha means you shall not tell to your son, not say to your son, but rather you shall teach your son. So you see this very strong connection between the verb Haggadah and Torah. This is the idea that we discussed at length previously, that part of the essence of Haggadah is the idea of Talmud Torah and teaching your son the story, not just telling him the story. Okay, that's the second point. Next. And this is a much longer idea. It's quite a deep concept. We say, before we present the four sons, we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. So it's we're being Mevarech Hashem. So it's interesting, we use the word Makom to describe Hashem. In English here, they define it as the omnipresent. Very interesting definition, which we'll get to later. It means Hashem is the, HaMakom is the name of Hashem. How is this the name of Hashem? Why is Hashem called Makom? What is the specific reference, message of referring to Hashem as Makom? So it's interesting, the art scroll defines it as omnipresent, and we'll see as follows. So the Rav explained as follows. I think it's a very, very beautiful idea. The Rav said as follows. When there is a Gilui Shechina, which is beyond what appears to be deserved or expected. When you see a Gilui Shechina, which is beyond, we'll give examples, which is beyond what you think is deserved or expected. Or, when there is a Gilui Shechina at a time where superficially the Shechina is less apparent. Now, it seems like it's less apparent, but really there is a Gilui Shechina, then Hashem is called Makom. Why? Hashem is everywhere. And Hashem is Megalish, can be Megalish if he wants to, at all times and all places. He is Makom. He is always there, even if we don't expect him to be there. Even if we don't think it's deserved, the potential of Hashem to always be there. Hashem is the Makom. Hashem is everywhere. That's why the term omnipresent fits. HaMakom is used when we're describing a Gilui Shechina at a time where other factors seem to point away from the Gilui Shechina. And you're saying, hey, is the Shechina really here now? The answer is yes, the Shechina is here even now. The Rav presents here at least seven or eight examples. Let's go one by one. When you're Menachem Avil, so we say, HaMakom Yenachem. Hashem should be Menachem you. We call Hashem HaMakom. What's the idea? Person just died. Oh my gosh, how did Hashem let that person die? Maybe the person was a tzaddik. Maybe he was very young. And you might say, hey, if a person's nifter chas v'shalom and he's a tzaddik or somebody young, it appears like he didn't deserve it. And the person might say, hey, where is Hashem? How could Hashem let this person die? So we have to understand, no, Hashem's everywhere. Hashem's always in control of things. HaMakom. Hashem is HaMakom. Hashem's everywhere. Hashem is omnipresent. So even when you think you have a reason to think he's not really running the show, really Hashem runs the show. That's why it's HaMakom. Similarly, when someone's sick, we say HaMakom Yishlach Refuah Shleimah. The Makom should send Refuah Shleimah. Again, somebody's sick. Why is he sick? What? The person who's sick is less of a tzaddik than everyone else who's healthy? It's not true. It appears to us like, hey, it doesn't seem to be fair. Where's the Shechina? Where's the Hashgacha here that this person is suddenly sick? The answer is HaMakom. The Makom should bring your Refuah Shleimah. Even if you think, from your angle, that you don't really see the Shechina so much, Hashem is always there. That's the second place we use HaMakom. Now, back into the Haggadah. So it goes as follows. You know, you're telling the story to your children. That's the mitzvah to tell your story to your children. Now, you would have thought the mitzvah is to tell it to the Chacham. The Chacham, he has to hear the story. He'll understand the story. He'll appreciate the story. Maybe to the Tam as well. Maybe the Tam and the Lishol. You tell the story to those that would appreciate it and those that want to hear it. Now, let's say the Tam, the Rambam's relationship to the Tam or the Tipesh. That's the Lashon HaRambam. He uses that word Tipesh. That's not the word that we have in Agada. You might say, listen, they're not going to understand the story anyway so much. They're not going to appreciate Gilui Shechina so much. So you say no. You say no. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala Hishchina, he was Megala the Shechina to every single Jew. Not just to the smart ones, not just to the geniuses, not just to the tzaddikim. We have to tell the story to all of our children, each one according to his darga. And that's why we say HaMakom. You might think, oh, for this one, he understands the Shechina, he understands, so I'll explain to him. The other ones won't understand anyway, so I might think that they don't deserve. No, they deserve it too. Every Jew deserves to understand and appreciate the Gilui Shechina on his own level. And again, that's why you say HaMakom. That's what the Rebbe explains, that I would have thought that, you know, to tell the story with all the ins and outs fits best only for the Chacham, because he's the one who really appreciates it. The answer is no. HaMakom, Hashem's omnipresent. Everywhere, everyone deserves this chance to hear the story and appreciate the Gilui Shechina. Later we say in the Haggadah, B'tchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avasenu Hayu Avasenu. Originally our forefathers worshipped Avodah Zarah. V'achshav Kervanu HaMakom Avodaso. And now Hashem has brought us close to his Avodah, to serve him. What's the term used? It doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says HaMakom. Exactly. Even though we were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and basically we might think, hey, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they're outside the Parsha. They can't get near to Hashem. Hashem will never allow Ovdei Avodah Zarah or their descendants to come rest under the Shechina. That's what a person might think. The answer is no. HaMakom. Hashem is omnipresent. And if you deserve it, you'll get the Shechina. And even though the forefathers were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, you deserve the Shechina now. And you're going to get, again, whenever you find a Gilui Shechina that's sort of beyond, you know, what a person's natural limited expectations of the Gilui Shechina would be, the term HaMakom is used. So I would have thought, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that their descendants are going to be zochah to the Gilui Shechina. It's impossible. No, it's not impossible. Hashem's HaMakom. That's what the Rav says, that Gilui Shechina, Eino Mugbal, B'Makom, B'Zman, rather it's B'Chol Matzah V'Matzah. At all times you can have Gilui Shechina, a person can be zochah to Gilui Shechina. Next, number five. We say as follows. When Yaakov is running away from to Laban's house. That's when he davens Ma'ariv. So the Torah there uses the Lashon Vayifka Bamakom Vayolan Sham. And Rashi quotes there from the Gemara that he davens. He davened. That's when he davened Ma'ariv. Well, so what does the word Makom refer to there? For Makom refers to Hashem, right? Now that's what the portion there explained, that the word Makom in that context means, and Yaakov confronted Hashem and davened. That's how the Mizrahi there explains Rashi. So it's interesting. We're talking here about Yaakov davening Ma'ariv, and the Torah uses the term Vayifka Bamakom. Why Bamakom? Again, Yaakov is running away. He's running into Golus. He's running into Golus, and he's being chased, and there's Hester upon him. Yaakov's in big trouble. Yaakov Hatzadik is in big trouble. He's being forced to run into Golus, and he's afraid for his life. This is the time of Hester upon him. He's going into he's davening Ma'ariv. It's dark outside. And a person might say, hey, where is the Shechina now? Where is Hashem? You know, Yaakov's having such sorrows. The answer is, even now, Hashem is there helping Yaakov. HaMakom. We might not see it exactly, that Yaakov HaTzadik has to run away and spend so much of his life in Golus and running from Esav. We might say, hey, where is the Shechina? The answer is, the Shechina is there, even though right now there's Hester upon him. Even though right now Yaakov, or Bnei Israel, in this case Yaakov, are somewhat on the down, they're somewhat downtrodden, but Hashem is still there watching over Yaakov, watching over Bnei Israel. That's the pshat of HaMakom. It's a beautiful pshat. That's why the word HaMakom is used. The Ibn Ezra there has a different pshat. The Ibn Ezra says that, he quotes another pasuk. The Ibn Ezra has a different pshat than Rashi. Okay. And the Ibn Ezra refers to a pasuk in Esther, Perek Dalet, where Mordechai is speaking to Esther, and Mordechai says that if you don't, you know, don't think you'll be saved. You know, if you don't come and save B'nai Yisrael, Revach v'hatzola ya'amod la'yehudim mimakom acher. Revach v'hatzola will come to the Jews from a different place, mimakom acher. Again, al derech remez, when Mordechai says makom acher, when Mordechai says makom acher, Mordechai means Hashem. He's saying Hashem will find another way to to bring the geula. Again, it's mamash beautiful. Why the term makom? Exactly. Even though the Jews have in Tzaras, and even though it's time passed their punning, and we don't see, you know, the Shechina is still there, and Hashem's going to come help us in some other way, and we have to always believe hamakom. Hashem is omnipresent, even when you don't see Him in a frontal, obvious way. Hashem is there, helping, and there is the Gilu Shechina is there, and yeah, you know, just a little more difficult to find. This is the idea of Rabbi Chassid Yamod mimakom acher. I think it's a beautiful shot. Again, the same use of the word makom. That's number six. Number seven, we say in davening all the time, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimakoma. It's from Yecheskel Perakim. So Yecheskel had this nevuah. When was this nevuah? During the Golos, during this month of the Churban, when darkness was covering the land, he still said, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimakoma. Hashem should be blessed Mimakoma. Hashem is in his makom, meaning we don't see it right now. It's in the Golos. There's Hester upon him. But Hashem's still here. Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimakoma. Hashem should be blessed from his makom. And we believe the Shechina is still here, and Hashem should be blessed in his makom. Another reference that when the term makom is used regarding Hashem, it's at a time of Hester Panim. It's at a time when the Shechina is less apparent. We have to have the full emuna. Hashem is always there. He's always in his, in a sense, his makom. And finally, we say here as follows. We say in the bracha before, in the little tefillah before we talk to the four sons, we say Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Liamo Yisrael Baruch Hu. And the word Am generally is a reference. This already the Ramban on Chumash says, according to Medrash, the word Am generally is a reference to the less chashuv, like the Hamon Am, the general populace. So the Rav wants to say the Tratt as follows. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenazim Torah La'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu. Hashem gave the Torah to Amo Yisrael, to everyone, to the great tzaddikim, to the less tzaddikim, to the smart ones, to the less smart ones, everyone. Hashem gave the Torah to everyone. And again, you would have thought, hey, the only Jews who are zochah to receive the Torah in such a big way should be the important ones. No. Even the Pshutayan, even the simple ones, even the part of the general populace, they also receive the Torah, and so it fits very beautifully. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. We're about to tell the story not just to the Chacham, but also to the Rasha and the other children as well. And so, meaning Hashem is Makom, even the people that we think might not deserve the same Gilui Shechina, they deserve to hear the story as well. That's HaMakom. Hashem is always there. He's omnipresent. And we continue by saying Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Am Yisrael Baruch Hu. That the same Hashem, whose makom, is the same Hashem who gave the Torah to the Amo Yisrael, to not only the great ones, but also the more ordinary Jews at the time of Matan Torah. This is the Rav's view on makom, that this term is used at a time of Hester Panim, at a time where it's less, one is less, when the Shechina is less apparent. We have to always believe the Shechina is always there, the Shechina is still there, and that's when that's a part of our emunah, and that aspect of emunah is captured by referring to Hashem in these contexts as makom. That's a very beautiful idea from the Rav, explained very well in Harei Keten. Next, we discussed on other occasions that we're maschil bignus umisayim bishvach. When the Mishnah tells us in Pesachim, that when we tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we start with the gnus, we start with the speaking negatively, of the story, the negative side of the story, and then your Messiah in Bishvach. Then your Messiah with the praise of what happened, of all the great things that happened to us. The Mepharshim explained that the more we understand how bad things were originally, the more we appreciate the greatness of the miracle and the wonders of Hashem, that in the end everything turned out so well. So you talk about how we were slaves and it was horrible and it was terrible, and then Hashem took us out, and you appreciate it more when you realize, you know, what, not just where you're going, the good side, but also the bad side, where you're coming from. Well, that's called Maschu B'gnus U'Messayim B'Shvach. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara also tells us, Kol Hamarbe Harezim Meshuvach. The longer you go, the better it is. The more you talk, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're not in a rush. Kol Hamarbe Harezim Meshuvach. The rough point just points out, a very pushed point, but it's very interesting, I think, that regarding... It says as follows. You know, the Gemara talks about two genuses, two different aspects of the negative side. One is mitchila avadim hayinu parav Mitzrayim. Originally, we were slaves parav Mitzrayim. And the other Amora says no. That's the view of Shmuel. Rav says no. You're masculine the genus, not of the genus of the slavery, but rather the genus of the avodah zarah. That our forefathers were originally Obdei Avodah Zarah. That's how you matzil, that's how you start. So the Rav points out that the Haggadah is very ma'arif. It goes on and on describing the shibud and the slavery, how bad it was. But the Haggadah is very brief in discussing the fact that our forefathers were originally Obdei Avodah Zarah. So even though these are the two different ways of fulfilling Maschil B'Gnus U'Messayim B'Shvach, and even though the general rule is Kol Marbe Harezim B'Shuvach, we are not Marbe, we don't go on and on about Mitchil Obdei Avodah Zarah. Why? The Rav says very pashut, that by the Gnus of Avodah Zarah, Ein Ra'i La'arich U'Lefarsem Et Chata'im Shel Avos. It's not proper to start being Mefarsem all of the Averas, to publicize all of the Averas of the Avos. So therefore it's like an exception to the rule. We don't go on and on discussing the details and the ins and outs of the fact that they're Obdei Avodah Zarah, because that's not necessary. You're standing with Farsim the whole time. We know they're Obdei Avodah Zarah. We know it, and it's mentioned. But to describe the ins and outs, that we're not going to discuss. Regarding the slavery, regarding the Shibud, so there, we're Marbe. Because the more we're Marbe, then the more we thank Hashem for that. Hashem took us out of the slavery. Wow, it was incredible. It was so awful originally, and Hashem took us out, so that we're marred, because the fact that there was a slavery and the shibud is not discussing any specific chataim of Bnei Yisrael. Okay, it's a short idea that, again, it's a more structural point. When you read the Haggadah, how come there's so little about Mitchil Obdei Avodah Zarah and so much about Mitchil Avodim Hayinu? So the Rav says this is the reason, because Obdei Avodah Zarah is referring to our forefathers of Eras, and we're not going to be ma'arich regarding the aveiras of our forefathers. Okay, that's a fourth point on the Haggadah from the Rav. Okay, next. The Rav here has a very subtle, nuanced diuk in the Haggadah. I want to try to explain, which is as follows. We've discussed, again, in other contexts, that the main part of Magid, the Tzeul Mag, is where the Torah tells over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's the structure? The structure is based on the Pesukim Aram Edovid Avi, and the way the Haggadah is structured is that the Haggadah takes a phrase from the Pesukim of Aram Edovid Avi in Parshas Kisavo, and the Haggadah sort of explains and elaborates on each phrase based on psukim elsewhere, let's say based on the psukim in Shmos that we discussed previously. So let's say the pasuk says, "Vayered Mitzrayma, vayagar sham bimsei maat." That's the pasuk. So the Haggadah says, "Vayered Mitzrayma" means anasal peyadibur, "Vayagar sham" means melamed shloyarad, etc. "Bimsei maat" means kamashinemer, as it says, etc. So every phrase of the pasuk is explained and elaborated upon using other psukim. So the Rav noticed a very subtle point, that sometimes when the other psukim are quoted, the ones that are explaining these phrases, the Haggadah uses the language melamed. This teaches us, etc. Melamed, shelo yarad, etc. Melamed. Sometimes the word is melamed. Vayisham agoy gadol, melamed, sheyisho mitzuyanim sham. If you have Haggadah, you'll see. But sometimes, instead of saying melamed, it says, kemo shenemar. It quotes the phrase of the pasuk, then it says, kemo shenemar, which means literally as it says somewhere else, ubnei shapu vayishvitzu. So the Rebbe wondered, how come sometimes the Haggadah says melamed, and sometimes it says kemo shenemar? It's basically the same thing. We're taking a phrase from the pasuk in Kisavo, and we are explaining and elaborating on that phrase using the pasuk elsewhere. So how come the Baal Haggadah sometimes says melamed, which means this teaches us, and sometimes says kemo shenemar, which means as is explained or as is said elsewhere? What's the pshat in this very subtle difference between melamed versus kemo shenemar? It's a good question. So the Rav says as follows. Mamash, a beautiful idea. He says, whenever the language of the pasuk itself points in a certain direction, the Rav's language is, it's muhach mitocho. It's obvious from the pasuk, it's clear from the pasuk itself. It's hinted at from the pasuk itself what the pasuk means. Then we say melamed. This teaches us as follows. But when the pasuk itself is not so clear, but we on our own are going to explain this phrase in the pasuk based on another pasuk, then we say kemo shenemar. So when the phraseology of the pasuk itself points in a certain direction, so we say melamed. This teaches us the following idea, and then we quote psukim. When it says when the phraseology of the phrase in the pasuk, when the language of the phrase in the pasuk doesn't reflect one way or the other, because we know that's what it means, so that, like, we have a mesorah, so we say, oh, this refers to this kemo shenemar. For example, the Torah says vayagar sham, and the Haggadah says melamed. This comes to teach us that Yaakov didn't go down to settle in Mitzrayim, but rather just to live there temporarily, lagur. In other words, the word vayagar itself teaches this idea, and then the pasuk quotes, and then the Baal Haggadah quotes the pasuk, which further elaborates, on why their brothers came down to Mitzrayim, not to settle there, just to dwell there temporarily. But it starts from the implicit meaning of the word vayagar itself. However, in other places it says kemo shenemar. For example, the Torah says vayanunu, and they oppressed us. I don't know, there are lots of forms of the oppression. We don't know what type of oppression it was, so the Baal Haggadah says, oh, kemo shenemar, as it says, vayisimu lev sarei misim, that this phrase vayanunu refers to this specific type of shibud, as the pasuk goes on to say. I wouldn't have known it just from these words themselves. There's nothing in the word vayanunu itself which itself hints to this type of shibud. But given our knowledge of the rest of the psukim, we understand what vayanunu means, and we quote another pasuk. So that's what the Rav wants to say. That's the difference between kemo shenemar versus melamed. For example, the Torah, it says in Haggadah, vayhi sham legoy gadol. And they were a great nation then. Because the phrase, vayhi sham legoy, they were a nation. So melamed shayisom mutzionim sham, that they were unique and special. If you say they were a nation, legoy, being a goy means that it was clear that they had some independent characteristics of a nation. They were their own nation. That means they're mitsuyanim, that they were set apart and distinctive there, because that's what it means to be a goy. To be a goy means you have some distinct, specific qualities. Okay, this is how the Rav approaches melamed versus kemo shenemar. It's a very, very subtle point. Okay, the next point is about Aramid Obi Ravi. Aramid Ovid Avi is the parsha which we use to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's in Dvarim, Perakov Vav. And we've discussed previously that it's interesting why Chazal chose this parsha, Parshas Kisavo, to be the basis of the basic story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there's one famous idea which the Rav says over a lot, which I didn't mention on the previous shirim, which is as follows. Aramid Ovid Avi is a parsha of Hoda'a, thanks to Hashem. When a person brings his maestros to the base of the Mikdash, and he says the vidui maestros, and during this statement about the maestros, it's a statement of Hoda'a to Hashem that you've brought me here to Eretz Yisrael and allowed me to be successful and have produce in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rav says, very pashut, that this might be why Chazal chose it as to be the base for Tzipras Mitzrayim. Mishum, the ikar achiyuv shel Sipur, the main aspect of the chiyuv of Tzipras Mitzrayim is a chiyuv of Hoda'a. That's what we say. We say in the Haggadah, le'fichach anachnu chayavim le'hodos, to thank Hashem. The Rambam says in the Sefer Mitzvos, that, and the Chinuch says as well, in Mitzvah Kaf Aleph, that Hodah Hashem is part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it fits very well that Chazal Dafka chose a parsha whose broad overarching theme is Hoda'ah, because that blends in, that fits well with the basic chiyuv of the night, which is not just to tell the story, but to thank Hashem during the telling of the story. Oh. And the Rav points out further that the word Haggadah can also mean to thank Hashem. If you look at the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel in Dvarim Perakov Vav, where it says he got it to Hayom, so the Targum Yonatan says Ve'odina, and I shall thank Hashem Hayom. So it comes out very, very nicely that the word Haggadah literally means to tell a story. One other meaning of Haggadah, as we discussed earlier, is Talmud Torah. And as we explained, part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to teach Torah to your children and to tell the story through teaching Torah to your children. And the other meaning of Haggadah is thanks, Odina, thanks to Hashem. So the name Haggadah itself, the fact that it's called the Haggadah, it itself reflects two basic themes about the nature of the Haggadah itself. Okay, that's another point which the Rav explained about Arami Oved Avi. Next. Now in the Haggadah, when we're darshaning Arami Oved Avi, so we have this series where if the Torah, the Haggadah says, Vahisham Goy Gadol Atsum Varav. Goy Gadol, Atsum Varav. A great nation, a mighty nation, and a numerous nation. So the Rav understands as follows. Atsum and Varav, Lechor Pashup Shat, refer to greatness in size and strength, more on a Gashmias level. We became very big, we were very strong. Okay. And in contrast, Lechor, just the term Gadol, the Rav understands to be Ruchnius, that we were a great nation in Ruchnius and in Gashmius as well. We had become, okay. And the Rav points out that the word Gadol, this is Moral Derech Hadrush, the word Gadol we find in different contexts being a reference to the three basic pillars of Ruchnius existence, Torah, Avoda, and Gmilus Chasadim. And the Rav thinks that maybe the reason why the Torah uses the word Vahisham Ugoi Gadol, because when the Torah wants to mention that we were a great nation in a spiritual sense, it uses a word who has this reference to the idea of Torah Avoda and Gmilus Chasadim. Where do we find that the word Gadol is a reference to Torah Avoda and Gmilus Chasadim? So it says here, first Torah and Avoda. So in Dvarim Perek Dalet, Pesukim Zayin and Ches, the Torah says, Kimi Goy Gadol, Ashelo Elokim Korim Elav, Kashem Elokeinu, Bechol Kareinu Elav.
Hashem is close to us whenever we call out to Him. That's a reference to Tefillah. And the Torah uses the word Gadol regarding Tefillah. Then the pasuk continues, Umi goy Gadol, Ashilo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim. What is this great nation which has chukim and mishpatim that are good and righteous? So what do you see again? That's a reference to Torah, that we're called a goy Gadol in reference to Torah. So you see already in the Chumash that the word Gadol is a reference to Torah and to Avodah, i.e. Tefillah. Furthermore, the Gemara in Megillah says, the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Kav Zayin, the Rav quotes, points out that it quotes a pasuk, V'es kol beis gadol saraf ba'esh. V'es kol beis gadol saraf ba'esh. And about the word beis gadol, there's the machlokes, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. One says gadol is makom she megadlin bo Torah, and one says gadol is makom she megadlin bo Tefillah. So again, the word gadol has a reference to Torah and to Tefillah. And Gemilas Chasadim, the Rav points out, we find earlier in Devarim, in Perek Gimel, in Pasuk Kav Dalet, the Torah says, Es God Lecha. And Rashi over there explains, Zu Midas Tufra. This refers to Midos Tovos. So the word Gadol, Rashi says, refers to Midos Tovos. Earlier in the Chumash, the Rav points out, it says, Vayigda Moshe, Vayetze Lecha, Vayar Besiv Losam. Moshe there was having good Midos, he was showing, being involved in Gemilas Chesed for Bnei Yisrael, and the pasuk it begins with Vayigdal. Again, the root Gadol being used in reference to Gemilas Chasadim. So I think this is more Aderech HaDrush, but it's good Drush. Aderech HaDrush, that we find the word Gadol used in reference to the three pillars of Avodah Shem Ruchnias, and that might be a remez why the Torah Dafka used the word Gadol, and then Atzumbra. Atzumbra is Gashmias, and Gadol is Ruchnias, with the three different types, in a sense, of ruchnius, of ruchnius greatness. Okay, good. Next, we come to the bracha. I'm sorry. Next is as follows. There's a very interesting idea here that the Rav has two diukim in the Rambam, which the Rav thinks are lishitaso. Two diukim in the Rambam. Which the Rav thinks is Arlishitasa. And the idea is as follows. When the Haggadah talks about Matzah Zushan Ochin, so we say in our Haggadah, Matzah Zushan Ochin, Al Shum Ma, why do we eat the Matzah? Al Shum, Shul Hispik, Betzekim, Shal Vasenu, Lahachmet, etc. And, Ad Shenigla Aleim Melech Malchi Akarash Baruch Hu Uga Olam, Shenemar, etc. So what happened? That as we know, the Hashem didn't give there was no time to let the matzah rise, the dough rise into chametz, because Hashem redeemed us and we were in such a rush. The Mitzvah rushed us out that we had to eat matzah instead of chametz. So that's our version. Ad shenigla aleihem melech hamelech hakadosh baruch hu ugeolam. The Rambam adds a word. The Rambam's lashon in Perikles. Halacha Dalet of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Rambam says Matzah Shon Ochim, etc. Ad Shenigla Aleihem Melech Malchei Hamelachim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ugeolam Miyad. Immediately, the Rambam adds in the word Miyad. Oh. In other words, it sounds like not. In other words, the pasuk shot is we were in a rush. The Rambam says we were in a big rush. Miyad, right away. Miyad, without any delay. That's how the Rambam understands. The word miyad is there for emphasis. It wasn't just a rush. It was a very, very big rush. Similarly, the Rav points out that we start Magid with Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya, Deachos Ebarad Mitzrayim. Okay, that we discuss Halach Ma'anya in other contexts. It's interesting. In the Rambam's Haggadah, he doesn't begin the Haggadah with just Halach Ma'anya. The Rambam's Girsa is Bivihilu Yatsanu Mimitzrayim. In a tremendous rush, we left Mitzrayim, and then Halach Manu, etc. The Rambam's headline to the Haggadah to Magid isn't Halach Manu. The headline is Bivihilu Beis Hey Yud Lamed Vav. Bivihilu Yatsanu Mimitzrayim. In a great rush, in a tremendous rush. That's what Bivihilu means. We rushed tremendously. We left Mitzrayim. So the Rav points out that there are two places in the Rambam where he's emphasizing not just a rush, but a very, very big rush. This is part of the story to get across the message of this immediate, like, you know, super quick geula that Hashem brought. What is the hashkafic message? So the Rav explains quite beautifully. The Rav explains quite beautifully as follows. You know, normal natural processes take time. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's a development, there's an end. And that's chametz. Chametz symbolizes olam hazeh, the normal teva world, kashmir's world. Things take time to develop. Not so with geulas Hashem. When Hashem wants to accomplish something, when Hashem wants to redeem Bnei Yisrael and save them, it's immediate. Pitom. Super immediate. That geulas Hashem ba'am miyad upitom. Yeshua Hashem, the Rav says, kiharifayin. It can be like the blink of an eye. So in order to emphasize that point, that the geula we're discussing here is geulas Hashem. Hashem was the one who was running the geulas Mitzrayim. To emphasize that point, the Rambam holds, we don't just say it was a rush. It was a big rush. We have the word b'vihili or something Mitzrayim and the word miyad. Again, we don't have this in our Haggadah, but the Rav is pointing out that the Rambam's Haggadah has these two points, which are lishi tasa. Now, you know, even for us, even though we don't have the lashon of the Rambam, but the idea is true. We can certainly explain this at the Seder, that we should emphasize at the Seder that when Hashem is bringing a geula, it isn't a quote-unquote natural developing process. I mean, it could be, but not necessarily. It could be a quick, immediate, you know, not even overnight, you know, over minutes, quickly, quick process of the geula coming miyad. This is something that we should, and this is the idea of matzah. Matzah has to be made without delay to symbolize to us that when Hashem is running the show, it isn't the normal, natural process. Things take time; they develop. The dough rises. No, it's quick, quick, quick. It's quick, quick, quick to teach us this idea that the geulas Hashem is terrifying. So this is the vort of shita of the Rambam. We don't do this shita, but the idea of the shita certainly we can incorporate and use at the Seder. Okay. Next. At the end of Magid, we say a bracha of Asher Golanu. We have Magid, we have Halo, we have the bracha of Asher Golanu. So the Rav points out, this is not a chiddush, this he's pointing it out, there's a very interesting machlokas. It's actually a halachic machlokas about the following issue. Normally, mitzvos, which are done like one time a year, we say Shachianu. Right, when you read the Megillah, you say Shachianu for the first time. When the first time you light Hanukkah candles, you say Shachianu. We say Shachianu at Kiddush, etc. What about the mitzvah at the Seder? The mitzvah of matzah. The mitzvah of maror. And the other mitzvahs at the Seder. What happened to the Shachianu on those? Why don't we say a bracha al chilas hamotzi and a bracha al chilas matzah? And the bracha of Shachianu would have made a lot of sense. It's a mitzvah we're doing for the first time for the year, the only time for the year. That's an added simcha. We should say Shachianu. What happened to the Shachianu on the matzah and the maror? So the Rav points out that there's a machokas Rishonim about this. It's a real machokas in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, the Abud Ram is a Rishon who wrote a parish on the Siddur. So the Abud Ram writes that the Birchas Hazman of Kiddush paters Shachianu. That when you say Shachianu at Kiddush, you're supposed to have in mind the other mitzvos halayla, and the Shachianu of Kiddush covers the matzah and the maror. We find that concept once in a while, that one Shachianu can be used for sort of several ideas, and that's what's happening here. That's what the Abu Ghram says, and other Achronim say this as well. Rav Yaakov Emden says this in his Siddur. The Aruch HaNer and others say this idea. However, the Rav points out that the Abu Ghram brings a second Perush. And this second Perush is quoted by other Rishonim. The Rokeach, he's a Rishon, and other Rishonim. And they say that no. They say that the Lashon of Asher Ga'olanu, the Bracha of Asher Ga'olanu, and what does the Bracha say? The Bracha includes the following statement. The Bracha says, Asher Golanu, etc. Vehigianu halaylo hazeh lecha bo matzu maror. And you have enabled us, Hashem, you have enabled us to reach this night that we can eat the matzah in the maror. So the language of Asher Golanu includes this reference to making us in this night for matzah maror. It sounds like Shechianu. And some Rishonim, the Abraham quotes this view as well, says that no, it's not the Shechianu which we say a Kiddush, which covers the Shechianu of these mitzvahs. It's the Shechianu we say, it's the bracha we say Asher Golanu, which covers the Shechianu on these mitzvahs. It's a machokas. Oh. And the Rav points out, anafkminu l'maisa would be when you have to have the kavana. According to the Abu Dham's first approach, you would have the kavana when you say Kiddush, Shechianu Kiddush. According to Abu Dham's second approach, you'd have the kavana for these mitzvahs when you say the bracha of Asher Golanu. Just it's an interesting machokas and halacha between the Rishonim and in the Rishonim. Okay. So it's a machlokas. Okay, next. Next is as follows. The Suda at the Seder. The Rav would often speak about the nature of the meal at the Seder. And it goes as follows. You know, we sing, you know, before the Seder, Kadesh, Urchatz, we go through the Seder of the Pesach Seder, and we go through the list, Kadesh, Urchatz, etc. So the Rav pointed out that everything that we mention refers to some mitzvah of the night, of the Leil HaSeder. It's not Stam, we're mentioning things which we do tonight. We mention things which also play the role of being a mitzvah that is connected with and part of the Seder, part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kiddush, the Rav explains, at Kiddush we say the bracha Asher Bracha Banu, and we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. So the Rav points out that the Kiddush at the Leil HaSeder is also a keim of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's why it's mentioned here in the Kadesh Urchatz. The Rav points out that some of the Gaonim had a longer version of Kiddush. They would say a whole big story about Yetzias Mitzrayim at Kiddush. We don't have that Girsha, so we don't have that version, but that version exists. And again, the idea is that Kiddush at the Seder isn't Stam Kiddush. Kiddush at the Seder is also supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of, be part of fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and like all the other parts of the Kadesh Urchatz, fulfill Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Similarly, the Rav explained that just like Kiddush at the Seder is not Stam Kiddush, it's also part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so too we say Shulchan Aruch, that the table is prepared and we eat our meal. Shulchan Aruch refers to the Suda. So the Rav says if Shulchan Aruch is in the Kadesh Urchatz, it's in the Seder, that means it must be the Suda at the Seder is not Stam Suda. The Suda at the Seder is part of the Kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the explanation is relatively straightforward. Part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Derech Chayrus, that we left Mitzrayim, we're free now, we have to act like free or rich aristocrats. So, A, you have a big Suda, and B, at the Suda you do Haseba. So the Suda plays a role as part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have to feel as if you just left Mitzrayim tonight. People, if you left Mitzrayim, you're a free, rich aristocrat. You have a big meal, you do Haseba. So the meal itself becomes part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a beautiful idea. It's a beautiful approach to the Suda, the Seder. You know, sometimes some people sort of view the Suda as like sort of a break. You have the Haggadah, then you have a break, then you have the Hallel at the end, etc. No, the Suda isn't a break. The Suda is part of the fulfillment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, having a Suda, and the way you act at the Suda is a fulfillment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, next, the Rav pointed out the following idea. The Gemara says that the Charoses is supposed to have Zecher LeTapuach. So this is normally translated as Zecher to the apple trees. What's the idea? This is where the women would give birth in Egypt without pain. This is what Rashi explains in Sukkim, and of Kuf Tezayin and Aleph. And, you know, the Egyptians were trying to watch out. Women would have babies. They'd go in to kill the babies. So here they'd go out to the fields. They'd have the babies without pain. And then the Egyptians wouldn't notice, the babies would be able to survive. So we normally translate tapuach as apple, as an apple tree. And that's why people normally put like an apple type flavor in the charoses. The Rav pointed out that there's a big when Tanakh uses tapuach, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, tachas atapuach lo raticha. When Tanakh uses the word tapuach, there's a big discussion. Does that refer to what we call apples, or does that refer to actually an esrog? The Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Pei Chesem and Aleph says that tapuach hainu esrog. Tapuach is a reference to an esrog. So too, similarly, Tosfos says in Tainus on Kof Tes Amud Beis that tapuach is hainu esrog. It's an esrog. According to this, that the book means esrog, then a person should put a esrog type flavor, like a sharp taste, in the charoses, and not necessarily an apple. However, the Rav points out that other sources sound like the book means an apple. The Rav quotes here the Be'er Hagra in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Gimel. The Be'er Hagra there says that tapuach refers to tapuach mamish. He's quoted the pasuk in Shir Shirim refers to tapuach mamish. So we see there that there's an interesting machlokas. It would be a machlokas lovachu l'maisa. What are you going to put the ingredient of apple in your charoses or the ingredient of the esrog? Most people follow the view of the apple, and that's why standard charoses has that type of apple flavor in it. However, you should know this other view is it's in Tosfos in a few places. It's a very reasonable view. That tapuach doesn't refer necessarily to apple, but rather refers to esrog. Okay, and one final point is as follows: the Kos Elyo. We have the Kos Elyo at the Seder. I've discussed the Kos Elyo in other contexts. Why it's daf in the second half of the Seder, not the first half. Okay. So we have the Kos Elyo. Now the Kos Elyo is interesting. Our minhag is we have it, we don't drink it. The meaning is we don't drink the Kos Elyo. That's our custom. Okay, good. Now, so it's sitting there on the table. So it's as if the Kos Elyo was sort of sitting there waiting for something. And we call it Kos Elyo. So you have this fifth cup, which is on the table. It's called Kos Elyo. It isn't drunk. It's basically sort of waiting there on the table for something to happen. So the Rav said as follows, Adero Chadrush, I think a very beautiful idea. The Rav said as follows. It could be, the four cups of wine are kenega the dalud lishonos hagula v'hotseisi v'hitzalti v'lokachti v'goalti v'lokachti v'hotseisi v'hitzalti v'goalti v'lokachti. The four lishonos hagula, each one has its own cup of wine. Now we know there's a fifth lashon. It says v'heveisi in the Chumash. So the Rav thinks it could be that the fifth cup of wine on the table is kineged, it corresponds to Behevesi. Oh, now, Behevesi refers to Hashem bring us into Eretz Yisrael. Now, Hashem did bring us into Eretz Yisrael once, but that wasn't a full geula, because the fact is we were kicked out. So Behevesi, in a sense, was never completely fulfilled. When will Behevesi be fulfilled? B'Yemos HaMashiach, when Elyo comes to tell us that Mashiach is coming, and then the fifth Lashon HaGula will be fulfilled completely. So it comes out that this fifth cup of wine of Hevesi basically depends on whom? Depends on Elyo HaNavi. That when Elyo HaNavi comes, then we'll be able to have the Kiyum of Hevesi. And what are we doing now? What are we doing right now? What are we doing? We are waiting for Elyo to come. We are waiting for Elyo to come. So the fifth cup of wine symbolically, this is mamash beautiful, the fifth cup of wine on the table symbolically symbolizes Vehevesi. We are waiting for Vehevesi to be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled by Elyo HaNavi coming and informing us that Mashiach is coming. So that's why this fifth cup of wine at the table, which is Vehevesi, is called what? The Kos Elyo. It's called the Kos Elyo. Mamash beautiful. Therefore, the Kos Elyo is Murach on the Shulchan. Ein shosim oso. Rather, we're waiting and hoping that Eliyahu is going to come and we'll be zochah to have fulfilled this fifth cup. The first four cups we drink because we had a gula in Mitzrayim. Fotesi, vitalti, vigalti, velokachti, wonderful. But the full behavesi we haven't had yet. We're, in a sense, waiting for it. So the fifth cup of wine is on the table, waiting to be drunk, but it isn't necessarily, but it's not drunk yet, and it corresponds to, and it's connected with Eliyahu, and that's why it's called the Kos Eliyahu. So this is another word from Rav Soloveitchik on Haggadah, and that was a beautiful idea about the Kos Eliyahu. Okay, these are just some additional ideas of Rav Soloveitchik on Haggadah, taken mostly from Sefer HaRei Ketim, and we'll stop here.